Hi, my name is Brenda Daly, and this is Real Women, Celebrating Women in Independent Film. I am an actor, filmmaker, and creator, and I'm here with the fabulous Deborah Richards. Hey. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We are here at Action Shot Production Studios, and we're super excited to be revamping this show, and we're so glad you guys came to join us. So, Deborah, how are you?
I'm doing good, thank you.
And so you're so busy. I'm so excited that you came on because I was thinking she's just not going to be available.
Oh, thanks. No, I have had a busy year, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's great. And you're making your first feature.
Yeah, well, I've actually had three features this year, technically, because I had Kindred, which came out on Amazon a couple months ago, which has the colorist and VFX artist
for. Oh, that's great.
Then I had my short, Dark Lights, that's been crushing it this year. That was part of a feature anthology called United States of Horror that just came out, and that's narrated by Pinhead from Hellraiser. And then I just got to write, direct, DP, and edit my first feature film.
Yeah, I actually saw Dark Lights at the Silver State Film Festival.
Oh, cool. I wish and, I could have
done. I know, you were too busy working on with big people, but we'll go into that. I really enjoyed it. Like, I really felt like the cinematography just really captured me. And it's obvious why it's winning awards. Like, super obvious. And I love the special effects. That was great.
I think we're up to 50-something honors this year for it, which is bananas.
That is great. I love that.
Every week, it's like winning another award, which is...
Yeah, well, don't you think you deserve it after all the work, though? I mean, because being a filmmaker is not easy.
It is not easy. It is not easy. Well, you know firsthand.
Yeah, I'm still working on that part, but I always feel like... entering the Lucky Sevens was a great thing for me and a bad thing, but it was mostly great because I felt like I got to meet people like you, and I think it gave me exposure to people that are kind of like-minded, because I feel like you and I are a lot like-minded, and I felt like it's helped me build a community.
That's great. And I think one of the reasons why we're quote-unquote like-minded or kindred spirits is because we both have bartending background.
We're both
ex-legendary Vegas bartenders,
right? Oh, God, 25 years.
Yeah, I bartended, I think, 12 years around the world.
Oh, wow. See, I would love that. That would be a great job to have, just to go around the world. Think of all the people that you would meet and all the connections you would make.
Well, yeah, it's what brought me to Vegas.
Yeah, like, for
Vegas,
me...
Vegas literally cold.
Yeah, as far as bartending, for me, I was in one spot, but that was kind of, like, inspired me to become a filmmaker because I was having people from, like, CBS Studios come sit at my bar, and then we would, like, connect, and then it would be like, oh, yeah, it's on. So that's kind of how I got started, but this is not about me. This is about you.
See how I turned it around?
So I wanted to know, because I know you cast a lot of films, because you are doing a lot of, like, music videos and commercials and promos.
A lot of commercials. I've done 50 to 100 TV commercials now,
that's
which
great.
Is a lot. Yeah,
that is a lot.
Years.
How do you pick your talent?
Well... You know, on my pet projects and on my shorts, because I've done like 9 shorts and I'm now developing my second feature film. Usually people say to me, how do I get one of your shows? And I'm like, be my friend. You know, if you're my friend, the first people I'm going to call are my friends. And quite often as a writer, I write specifically for certain people. So it's really that simple. But then on the more commercial stuff, like the TV commercials and stuff, usually talent is provided by the producers or
I was going to say, as far as writing for me too, is I usually will envision somebody and I'll just like heavily focus on, you know, what they're good at and it kind of creates the mood for me, and then that'll create me to write. Sometimes I don't cast them, but it depends on their availability too.
Right.
So.
And also I feel that it's so much easier to write for someone. If you have someone in your mind, even if it's someone that you don't know, it's so much easier to write for them because you have a feel for their cadence.
Right. I think too, I'm always talking about acting as a business or even filmmaking as a business is people want to work with people that they know and that are their friends and that they trust and they have a safe space to go to because, you know, the filmmaker's a person too.
Right.
And they don't want to feel like there's going to be any animosity on set. And so I think, you know, and you have to care about the people that you're working with because you're going to be with them for a long time.
Well, the way I think of it is it's so difficult to make content. It's so challenging to knock it out of the park that it makes it really stressful at times and difficult and hard work. And if I'm not doing that with people that I love and enjoy their company, then I'd rather just not do it. There's so many cool things to do in the world. You know, if I can't, you know, go to work literally with the collaborators that I love and trust, then I'd be like, you know, to hell with this. I'm going to learn to be a scuba diver or something.
Or bartending. I think once you're a bartender, you're always a bartender. So why film for you?
Well, I think that's a pretty deep question. I think it's a multifaceted answer. I think at one level, it just appeals to my sense of impossible. Because, and like I said, to knock it out of the park, so many things have to go right. It's such the tip of the spear. It's like someone once described it, like shooting an arrow and hitting a target 2 miles away. That really appeals to me. I'm like, what? It's impossible? Okay. That piques my interest because I've always succeeded and excelled at so many things in my life. Mm-hmm. Like when I was a bartender, I was 3-time world champion, 2-time national, competed in 50 competitions in 5 countries, and so I've always been like an overachiever.
Yes.
And so I'm always like, oh, what's the next challenge? And film is just so bananas challenging that I'm like, oh, this sounds like something.
It's like putting together that 10,000 piece tiny piece puzzle that every piece looks exactly alike. I feel like people think that, oh, you know, I'm gonna be a filmmaker. Yeah, anybody can do it. Okay. I think that for me personally, I have not been good at being organized. Right. So it's really helped me. Maybe it's because I'm older now, but it's really helped me to become more organized. I still have a lot to do, but it definitely is it's a challenge. And I think that's why people fall in love with it. They don't fall in love with it for the fame. They don't fall in love with it for the money to start, because usually there isn't any. Right. But they fall in love with it because it does challenge you as a person.
It's very challenging, but there's also like some deeper reasons why I'm drawn to film as well. One of them is just like a personal thing, which is it allows me a space to work through some of my inner demons. Mm-hmm. As a writer, and then kind of watch those problems and situations and issues and things that I struggle with play out on TV in front of me, so I can be like, oh, okay, that's how I feel about it.
And sometimes you don't even know how you feel about it until you actually look at it, which is kind
of
cool.
Yeah, it's kind of part of the process of, so it's my therapy in a way. Uh-huh. But then on a better, bigger metaphysical level, I think that we're genetically encoded to be storytellers at a very deep level. And I have a very specific theory about this. And I think it's because life is constantly changing every second, you know. Every second is complete evolution of time. And it's very hard for us as humans to deal with that change, because the end result of that change that we all know is coming is that we're all gonna die. And our mortality is too, for us to think of ourselves as completely insignificant and irrelevant in the big picture of the universe, is something that we can't get our heads around.
Well, it's scary.
It's scary. It's terrifying.
It is terrifying because if you can't, you know, it's like, well, you know, what do I contribute?
Right. It's terrifying. And I think that's the reason why stone women, you know, and men, you know, first started drawing on the cave walls and started sharing stories, because it's by sharing stories and storytelling, that's how we internally process change. And that's how we come to terms with our mortality and our place in time and space.
That's very deep. I was going to say, though, I don't know if whatever your higher power is that we just want to know we existed.
Yeah.
At some point in time. Well,
they say you die twice. Once when you stop breathing and once when people stop saying your name.
Oh, that's kind of poetic.
It is.
Yeah. I feel like that's super important. And I guess, you know, I got into this older, so maybe that's because I know that, you know, eventually I'm not going to be here. So what am I going to leave behind? And I know that you do a lot of stuff for charity when you do your films. And would you like to talk about that?
Sure. Well, currently my feature film that's in post, Move Me No Mountain, which comes out sometime next year. That is the subject matter deals a lot with unsheltered people, and so I worked during the development, I worked with Las Vegas Rescue Mission to interview a lot of unsheltered people and people who have come from that experience and now are living in housing. And it, you know, that's at the core of the movie, that's the subject matter. So we're donating 10% of that movie to four local charities.
That's great.
That impact those most at risk in my community of Las Vegas.
Yeah, so. I know when I was on set, because Deborah was very kind to let me be on set that one day, we were in a homeless shelter community, and they were so excited to have you there. I really thought that they were so kind and giving. And
yeah, and that was Las Vegas Rescue Mission. And I think because, you know, I've made the effort to do the research and the work so that I could treat the subject matter with authenticity and dignity. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. you know, and when you come from a place of authenticity, then that you know, that resonates with people, and people can feel that, and people can pick up on that. And so I think that's the reason why, after they saw how I conducted myself with the interviewees, I think they were like, oh, okay, this is, she's a real deal. Let's welcome her in. So that's very
kind. Yeah, and I think that, you know, regardless of what people's circumstances are, you know, everybody needs help sometime. And I think and I think people, you know, to think that you're not close to being homeless, you know, most people are two paychecks away from being on the street.
What I say is like
three bad decisions. So I think, you know, people need to be lifted up, and mm-hmm. and I feel like that's what you were doing with your movie.
Oh, thanks.
And I think it's super important to shine a light on the subject.
Mm-hmm.
So because this is Real Women, Celebrate Women in Independent Film, I didn't know if you had thought about what woman inspired you to be a filmmaker.
That's a really loaded question. There's a lot of women in the industry that I look up to massively, past and present. But no one inspired me to become a director. Mm-hmm. I became a director because I'm a Jill of all trades, I'm a fluid communicator, I'm creative to my core. Born storyteller, you know, I have all these skills, and I have a lifetime of digital skills and tools.
Uh-huh.
I sometimes say that, you know, you've seen Slumdog Millionaire, right? Danny Boyle's
movie
in 2008. So at the end of that movie, the protagonist, he knows all the answers to the questions because of the sum of all of his life experiences. And I feel that's kind of how I fell into directing, because at the day that I said, like 15 years ago or so, that I'm going to be a film director, that's it was only because all of my skill sets were like, what else could you do with this bag of skill sets? It's a perfect combination of skills. Like, I've lived in 5 countries. I've you know, I just have all the ingredients to be a director. So,
well, I think you, and you've, because you said you've bartended all over the world, I think you really got to know different cultures and different people.
Well, yeah, I grew up in the Middle East, where I was in the minority. And, you know, it was a big culture shock moving to England when I was about 10 years old.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And yeah, I've lived in Paris, I've lived in America, Spain, England, Bahrain.
And I think you absorb a lot of stuff. Like, everything around you. Like, I always find that I'm absorbing whatever's going on. I think when I was younger, probably not so much. Maybe partying a little too much.
I think that's the responsibility of an artist. I think the responsibility of an artist is to be basically like an antenna,
mm-hmm.
and just absorb whatever's around you, internalize it, figure it out, and then spit it out as art. And that's the responsibility of an artist.
It is a responsibility. And I think there's really no wrong answer when it comes to art, because, you know, that, like you said, it's about your opinion in the moment. Because that might not be your opinion a week from now, but it's your opinion in the moment, and that to me is like the pure art form.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And so what's your favorite genre, first of all?
Well, I consider myself an author in training, so as far as me creating genres, mm-hmm. Or working in different genre spaces, I love all of them. I've done comedy, stop motion, supernatural thriller, drama, crime drama, horror, sci-fi. So I've worked in all different genres,
mm-hmm.
and I love that. Don't ever want to be like, oh, that's the Western director, or that's the crime drama girl.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's really important to me that, because a lot of people, they'll tell you, stay in your lane.
I hear that all the time, and I don't think that's that. It might be your lane today. It may not be your lane tomorrow.
What if my lane's wider? what if my vehicle is bigger and I need two lanes? But I'm an auteur in training, so I love film. So right. I'm an independent filmmaker to my core, so I get to make my decisions and my choices, and I'm gonna create what the heart wants, what the heart wants.
I can really agree with that. I think the thing that I like about filmmaking is because you can do whatever you want. Really, and if someone doesn't like it, they can just turn you off.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, or if you don't like it, you just make something else.
Not finished.
But then again, genres that I like to watch myself, I enjoy all genres. I mean, I really do. I grew up with a deep love of musicals.
I was going to say, really, that's like my next movie I'm going to make is a romantic comedy musical.
I'd love to. I want to make, the first thing I ever wanted to do when I was a kid was be a Muppeteer. And I used to, like at the age of like 5 or 6, I used to make my own Muppets.
Oh, that's great.
And then I got a video camera when I was about 10. Uh-huh. Like my first video camera was like 1981 or something. And so I'd make these Muppets and I'd get these shirts and I'd blow up balloons and put them in the sleeves and then use like clothes hangers to do the arms. And I'd film them and I'd do like little Muppet shows. And I have a secret burning ambition to one day direct a Muppet show.
Honestly, I think that's where everything's going anyway. Whether you do it like a 3D animation or, I mean, that's basically puppetry in its own form.
Well, directing is puppetry in its own form, if you think about it.
Right.
Like, you know, the actors are my little puppets. And I'm just like, say this, walk there, do this, look that way.
Yeah, but, that's true.
But Muppets are super fuzzy and colorful and wonderful and cute and such a positive message. I love the Muppets. But I love all genres. I mean, I love...
Have you ever done a kids show?
Not really. I did a stop motion animation once about an evil giraffe and a good monkey.
Oh, uh-huh.
But I don't know if it's really kid appropriate because the monkey gets a sword and cuts off the giraffe's
head. Oh, yeah, probably not.
It rolls over and there's a lot of ketchup. But I do like
violence. I really want to see that.
Yeah. I do like violence in film as well, though. I find it very cathartic and very anti-violence, and I'm very peace-loving and... I don't like confrontation in the real world, but I find it very cathartic in media because...
Yeah, for sure.
Because at the core of it all, we're horrible animals. And if we can... I think sometimes when we watch something violent, it helps prevent us acting out on our animal instincts.
Sometimes I think that's true, and the other times, because of what goes on in the world, I think, wow, why did those kids get to watch that?
Well, that's a separate subject. I mean, that's a very different subject.
Right,
like kids and stuff. I mean, I think it's horrifying that by the time a child is 16, they've already witnessed close to something like 100,000 deaths in video games.
I know. That's always very upsetting
very disturbing.
To me. Yeah, it's it is very disturbing. I think so. I mean, I'm as a parent, because I have 3 kids, my kids did all of that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to tell you the terrible stories that I didn't realize that I was doing, and then I went, oh my God, what did I do?
Yeah.
But I think that you're not paying attention. Everybody's so busy.
Yeah.
I think
it's so much easier to be like, here's an iPad, shut up.
Exactly. But, and it's so funny, because you were talking about the puppetry thing as being a kid, is... 5 years ago, some lady was telling me about how her friend's making millions of dollars taking 2 Barbies and just playing with them on the camera.
That's the ultimate insult to any filmmaker, right?
It's like, right?
What am I doing with my craft? Where are these Barbies?
But I mean, literally they sell toys and people, then these little kids they'll watch 2 hands with a Barbie play.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
But that's the media today.
Yeah.
So I know you're a director of photography.
Well, it's funny you say that because I do win awards for that, and I DP my own films lately.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't consider myself a DP. I consider myself a filmmaker first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I've had to, as a female filmmaker, I've had to really fight for my seat at the table and to be taken seriously.
Yes.
And in 2016, I won 4 Emmys. And
thank you.
And And I really thought people would take me seriously after that, and a lot of people didn't. And I was like, what more do I have to do? So I've really worked hard over the years to learn every department. I think I have awards in like maybe 6 or 7 departments now. Mm-hmm. And even on the stuff that I create, I don't take all the credits that like on Move Me in a Mountain, right? I'm producer, I'm executive producer. I don't take those credits.
Too many hyphenations too, yeah.
It gets silly after a while. It's like, what is it gonna be my name on every credit in the... but when it comes down to DPing, it all started when I started making my own lights from scratch. You know, that really shut up other DPs. They're like, oh, you know how to make a light from scratch? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Here's what I made.
But I think that's the spirit of the independent filmmaker is you do whatever it takes to realize that
image on frame, mm-hmm. You know, or that frame on film. But with the DP thing, it's quicker for me to do what I need to do with the lights than to even explain it. It's just easier and quicker. Yeah. So that's why I just do it.
Yeah, I feel like though, just being on your set for a day, because, you know, that was only there a day, but I feel like you really had a definite sense of what everybody was doing at every moment.
Oh, interesting.
And I felt like everybody, you definitely commanded respect. Like, I feel like I don't do that enough, and that's something that I could definitely learn. But yeah, you definitely commanded respect, which I really thought that was amazing. And I really felt like everybody was just in it for the project.
Yeah.
And there was no fooling around. They were having fun,
right?
But they weren't fooling around.
Well, I think a huge part of being a director is being, you know, the captain of the team. And as the captain of your team, your responsibilities are not just win the game, they build the team.
Yes.
Right?
For sure.
So some people sometimes ask me, what's the hardest part of directing? And honestly, it's like managing the emotional buckets of slush that make up my team.
Yeah.
Because we're all emotional buckets of slush.
We are.
Right? We all have our triggers, we all have our buttons, we all have our ups and downs, our good and bad.
And so true.
As the captain of the team, it's my job to manage that. And I think that comes back to, you know, I've been a business owner for many, many, you know, my whole life. I created the first bartending website on the internet in 1988. I owned a production studio out here, a soundstage out here in Vegas. I owned a bar out here in Vegas. So I've always been in positions of, being the captain of the team. And even when I was a bartender, I was like, you know, head bartender at different bars and stuff. So it was always my job to rally the troops and get them together and get everyone on the same page. And part of that for me in team building is building culture.
Yes.
And as ridiculous as it sounds, even a little bit of gentle hazing comes into that. You know, not hazing, like shaving someone's head and pushing them down the stairs with their feet tied, but a little bit of ribbing and you know, not off-color humor, but just a little bit of, you know,
I know you're kind of joking with them a little bit about what they're doing, but you're not really joking at the same time.
Right. Like, for example, I'll give you a perfect example. Like, one of the things I say on the first day of set when I'm, you know, working with crew or whatever, and this is, like you said, it's jokey. But it's not jokey. But it is jokey. But it's not jokey. I say, look, guys, I have 3 rules. Number 1, when I'm speaking, do not speak. Number 2, if I ask you to do something, do it as if it were the will of God. And number 3, please ignore the first 2 rules if it's a case of ethics or safety. I want you to talk up and resist and say, speak your mind. You know? And then that breaks all the tension.
I'm going to steal your speech.
Because when you say the first 2, people are like, oh my gosh, she's a real drill sergeant. But then when you say the 3rd one, you're like, oh, okay, that's fair.
I think it's completely fair, because when you are running a film set too, time is of the essence.
Yeah.
Time is money.
And it's banana stressful. And also, you know this as a director, you're the first to wake up and last to go to sleep.
Yes, and when you go to sleep, it's like 16, 18 hours later, even though everybody else is gone and they've done their job.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Everyone was gone hours ago. You're still watching dailies and adjusting content and whatever it is. So I really appreciate you saying from what I'm saying, you're saying that you witnessed a sense of, team respect.
Unity and respect, and I think... as a director, that's still something that I'm working on, but I like the fact that you speak. See, I learned something really big today, and I did feel that on your set, and I did feel like everybody was in it to win it. They all kind of took
ownership
of the project.
Yeah.
And that, and it showed, and that was all the way down to the actors who had no lines were like, we're gonna do this and we're gonna do it as a team. And it just felt really good the whole day.
It's really interesting because I don't really get to speak to people after the fact about seeing me work. So it's interesting hearing your and what about all the technical stuff? Do you do okay?
I thought you did great on the technical stuff. Of course, I haven't seen the clips, but I do really feel like the people that were working for you were just, I think you inspire them to be there. And I think that as a good director, that's what you need to do. You need to be the most inspiring. I feel like hopefully after my first feature that I will have learned. And of course, you know, I always say, don't be afraid to fail because we've all failed.
We've
all learned as we go.
If you don't fail, you're not trying.
Right. And the thing is don't not start because you're afraid of failing, because if you don't fail, you're not going to learn for the next one and the next one and the next one. So.
And you see, there's a huge paradigm shift in what you just said, like people working for me. You see, I don't let them feel that way. They're working with me. They're not working for me. Like, for example, when people say on my team, they're like, oh, your movie's going to be great. I'm like, it's our movie. I'm not taking the blame for this. It's our movie.
You know? I said that all too, too. It's like, wait a minute, because people say, like, they want to interview you and because, you know, you're the team captain and everything. But it's an us. Yeah. It's a team because I can't get everything done without my team. And it doesn't matter if you're there for a day, a minute, 5 seconds, if you're just bringing food, whatever it is, you're part of my team.
Well, my feature film, I think there's slightly over 100 people involved.
Yeah, see, that's amazing.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, it is a lot of people, but you did a great job, and I'm so excited to see it in the summer. And I really like that we had this talk because I feel like you and I, like you were saying, you want friendship. It's like, I think we're all looking for that. And somebody to, you know, because I know I've messaged you and I was like pulling my hair out and you were like there to calm me down and then vice versa. And then you share clips and everything. And so it makes me feel like I'm not alone because, we're home a lot.
Yeah.
And we're always creating and thinking and we're like, okay, is this stupid? Or
well, I think something people don't realize about being a director is that you spend a lot of time alone. Well, as a writer, director, editor, specifically from my point of view, because as a writer, I'm in a room for months on my own writing, and then as a director, I'm trying to put all together the pieces, but then everything just comes together for a really short period of time, which is the production, and then everyone scatters away, and then as the editor, I'm left alone to put it all together.
And honor them for all their work, also another responsibility. So the whole time you're doing it, you're like, oh, I want to make sure this actor's got this best clip and that the lighting is perfect on this one. So the lighting guy feels good about it. And I get it.
But it's so funny you said about friendship, because I just read an article this morning in the Hollywood Reporter about friends in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And it was saying that there was this study, and these are kind of loosey-goosey numbers because I'm remembering it from a few hours ago. But it was something like of the 1,200 people they canvassed in Hollywood, 20% had no best friend, 20% had no friends, and 20% felt extremely lonely, which was giant numbers. I mean, this is like massive. And the article was saying that in Hollywood, the word friend is used differently. In Hollywood, a friend is someone who is not a threat.
Yeah.
And that can change on a dime. And so, Hollywood as a concept and industry can be a very, I like what Woody Allen said, it's worse than dog eats dog. Its dog doesn't even return other dog's phone calls.
I don't really like that. Yeah. I feel like Vegas is much stronger in that because we don't do backyard barbecues. We don't come together as often as we should. And I feel like, because I am originally from California, I feel like, we always had that camaraderie. It's like, oh, we'll come over for the weekend barbecue. Well, nobody does that here.
Well, I think Vegas has something very different, which is everyone in Vegas is from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So everyone has this built-in frontier spirit. We're all in it together, I feel.
Well, that's good.
And also it's a very small town. Vegas is tiny.
Right. And you don't want to piss off anybody because everybody's going to know about it.
Oh my gosh. I'm in so much trouble.
Me too.
I've bashed heads along the way. And with kindness.
Right. And that's the thing is, I always feel that way too, like you were saying, because I do not work for people. Like, I lost my job, my bartending job to COVID of 22 years. There is no way that I work for somebody. There don't even ask me on, because I work with them. I will do the job that I'm asked to do and do it to the very best of my ability. But we work together as a team. It's a team, even whether I'm the head of the team or I'm just going to get coffee. I think it's super important.
Making films is the most collaborative team sport artistic endeavor there is, because there's no other art form that's that collaborative. I mean, can you imagine it takes 100 people to paint a painting, or, you know, 5,000 people to paint a painting? I think Guardians of the Galaxy had 5,000 people work on it, and so it's such a collaborative art form. You
know? I love the fact that 5,000 people can take ownership of that.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, Deborah, it's been so great. We could probably sit here and talk here forever.
Yeah, for sure. I've been talking.
Me too. No, it's been great. And I think the audience, but I just wanted to know, is there something that you wanted to tell your audience, your people, you know, anything, whether you appreciate, whatever.
Sure. Well, for my audience and fans and supporters around the world, thank you so, so much for, constantly lifting me up, enjoying my work, and don't be a stranger, hit me up. And for those people out there who are not my fans or don't know anything about me, be nice to animals or I will hunt you down.
That's great. Okay, so this is Brenda Daly, and this is Real Women Celebrating Women in Film, and I am with director, writer, producer, director of photography, Deborah Richards, and I know she does a little acting, so if anybody wants to cast her, that'd be great too. but I know she's got great things on the horizon, and I would love to have you back.
Thank you so much. Love to come back.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Peace.
See you later.